Good morning, church.
Buenos días. How you doing? Excellent. So we are in this new sermon series on community, and my hope is that we continue growing together on becoming a Bible, but a biblical, authentic, transparent community. So remember that I shared last time the importance that as a community of faith, our aim is higher than spending time together, loving one another, but it's also about transformation and becoming more like Christ every day, which is God's goal. So today we're going to reflect a little bit on 2 Samuel 12, and it's a very powerful story. It's the story where the prophet Nathan confronts David. 2 Samuel 12. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes. Can we read the last sentence together? Yes, but This is the message of the cross. This is the power of the gospel. It doesn't matter what we do, God is with us, and he offers grace and forgiveness. And he says that we won't die. We won't die because Jesus died for us on the cross, which is a testament. So if you don't know the story, how the story goes, the word says in the first verse, the Lord sent Nathan to David when he came to him, and he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for one and for him who had come to him. Verse 5, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. I anointing you king over Israel, and I deliver you from the hand of Saul. This is a very powerful story because when you hear this story, every time you hear in America, you are the man, it's something positive. Well, not this time. this time, he was on fire. Usually, that's what happens. So David was one of the greatest kings, very successful. He was very obedient. He had a heart after God, and that's what God chose him over Saul. But then with time, the Bible teaches us that he was one day, instead of going to war, he saw this beautiful woman and then created a plan to sleep with her. So time passed by. He forgot about it. He was praying about it. He's asking God for forgiveness about it based on the book of Psalms. But he had not confessed and come into grasp of what he did. So this prophet comes to him, and instead of confronting him directly, the prophet gave him a story of injustice. And David, being a righteous man and a man of justice, when he heard the story, he burned in anger and said, this man has to pay. And when he said that, the prophet said, you are that man. And the whole story is, we are very good at seeing injustice in the world, injustice in other people, but we have a really hard time seeing our own injustices. And that's the biggest challenge that we have. Like when we hear that people do things, we burn in anger. How dare he, that person did that? But you are not thinking about what you are doing. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. So when the prophet confronts him, tell him a story, he concluded after he was confronted that he was the person. So then he confessed his sin. But what I love about this story is that Nathan didn't come and call him out. He made him reflect in the story and reflect in his own life. And after he reflect on it, then he realized, oh, it's my sin. Yes, I confess my sin. And this is the beauty of the Christian faith, that we have the Holy Spirit. We're not here to calling people out on their things. We're here to present the gospel, preach the message, share the word, and then step back and let the Holy Spirit to convince people of sin. And when that happens, there is transformation. People begin to realize the importance of being in community, because the only way you can see your faults most of the time is with the people around you, people who love you, people who know who you are. They can see something different in you, that you are not the same person, because when we start living in sin, we start losing ourselves and we become more disconnected from everything, from God, from people around us. So here is what we have to embrace. First, we need to continue facing the reality of our own sin. We are all broken. We look like our life are together, but in reality, this acknowledgement that we are broken, that we are a community of broken people, so that when people come, they feel safe in this place and embrace what God wants to do. So last Sunday, we did an exercise, and today we're going to do another exercise. Hopefully I have a card here. But I want to ask the ushers to pass down the cards. And this time, the card is about the Ten Commandments, okay? And I hope, again, these are the three rules. No names. God knows who you are. Number two, be honest. And number three, participate. So this is about the Ten Commandments, how the Ten Commandments apply to your life. So this is a very personal exercise. So when you read the Ten Commandments, the question is, did you ever broken one of these commandments? So you mark yes or no. So this time, I didn't use questions. I actually used the Ten Commandments. So it's not a form of a statement. It's the Ten Commandments. I'm going to read those while the ushers are passing the cards around. But basically, the question is, when you face the Ten Commandments in your life, I mean, I was born in 1974. So from 1974 to 2024, 50 years, have you broken one of these commandments? So that's the idea. So when you go, question number one is the first commandment. That's the statement, the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. So you're going to ask yourself, have you ever broken that commandment? Have you ever worshiped other gods other than God or other things, which is what God is calling us to do? You shall not make idols. Have you ever made an idol? Have you ever made an idol of your friends or your wife or your children? Sometimes it's not only in material, like in gold or wood or silver, but also making idols of things, success, people, money, children. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever broken that commandment? Have you ever taken the name of the Lord in vain? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So God says work 6 days. Jesus now is our Sabbath. We don't have to keep a particular day because Jesus now is our Sabbath. That's what we believe. Jesus came and Jesus now is our rest. But we still have to stop and spend time with God. So you work 6 days and then you find a day of rest. And sometimes we are so busy and working nonstop. You know, those are the questions, yes or no. Honor your father and your mother. So answer those questions. And I'm going to give you a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come back and gather the cards. They are going to shuffle the cards, and they are going to give you the card back toward the end of the sermon. So the card that you're going to have will not be your card. That's why I said no names in the cards, on the cards, and make sure that you answer all the questions. And then remember to turn the card. So 10 commandments. Then the other side, you shall not murder. Hopefully the police is not here if you get up. But remember that murder is not only with a weapon. You can use your words. You can use actions. There's many ways to kill people emotionally and relationally and all of that. You shall not commit adultery. That's easy. You shall not steal. And some people, not a bank, but sometimes, you know, when I was a child, I see a little car, I take it home and never return, or ask for a book and you never return the book back. Okay, you know what that means. things that we never, sometimes intentional, sometimes not intentional.
Just to double check, so if you've broken the commandment, do you want us to put yes?
Yes, 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 good. Go through the Ten Commandments. Imagine that God is talking to you. Commandment number one, have you broke ever the commandment? Yes or no? Check. Go, 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 go. Okay? Things in your lifespan. That's why I'm saying I was born in 1974. Today is 2024. So in 50 years, because when you face God, he's going to talk to you like Nathan did in this, in your lifespan, right? So that's the idea. So just do that. Let me know when you are done so the ushers can come back and get it. Just raise your hands if you're done. Can I ask the ushers to come back and get the commandments? If you need to fold it, do that. If you need more privacy. All right, good, good, good. So last Sunday was very powerful because the transparency of the church really, really came out during this exercise. This is very, very important that we are all safe here. So this Sunday is about the courage of vulnerability, you know, having the courage to being vulnerable and understanding that we are weak and broken. So first Sunday was about embracing our brokenness. This Sunday is about the courage to be vulnerable, just to share with other people so we can be healed completely. And that's the idea behind it. So here we go. So these are the lies that we hear constantly from the enemy so that we are not vulnerable, that we don't risk ourselves by sharing our brokenness, our hurts, our hang-ups, our addictions, and the things that we are experiencing. Because even though, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, yes, I have Jesus in my heart, yes, I know the scriptures, but people are still stuck in situations. They're having a hard time breaking through, having a breakthrough in another area. What God wants you to know is that he used that struggle to develop your relationship with him. The more you struggle, the better, because now you have to pray more, you have to fast more, you have to spend more time with God, you read the Bible more, and then you shift and you begin to worship God. That's what God actually wants. That's the purpose of the struggle. Whatever struggle you are facing today, that's the purpose. Now, the enemy wants us to be captive and to stay captive. So he used these lies. If people knew, would I be welcome in that church or in that community? People know who I actually am. If my spouse knew, would I still be married? That's something that if I share it, you know. So the enemy is always instilling fear. Don't share, don't share, don't share. Don't open your heart. Don't open your heart. If my children knew, would I be loved and respected? And this is one of the biggest challenges, that when we are going through situations, we hide that from our children. So they don't know. They don't know. They don't know what we're going through. And then they grew up. They become adults. They leave the house. And now they are the one with the struggles. And because we never open up and we never share with them where we are, Now they are having trouble situations and they don't know how to face them. Right? So that's the whole idea behind this, you know, to share our hearts. That's the purpose of God, is that you really open your heart, I open my heart, and use transparency as a way to connect. But here is the big thing. The enemy wants you and the enemy wants me to fall in despair, just to lose hope and say, this is not going to change. So I'm going to turn and away from God. That's the purpose of it. But in reality, what God wants you to do is to understand and surrender and confess so you can grow back and be stronger. So the enemy is not even, don't even care if lust is a problem in your life. He wants you to say, I'm not going to be able to stop this madness. And the moment you do that, there is despair. And that's what he used. As long as you are fighting it, you're fine. As long as you are praying and fasting and confessing and working on it, you are fine. That's why Jesus came, to turn things around. But the moment we fall in despair, that's when he wins. Because now you don't have hope anymore. Now you're quitting. Now you're saying, this is not going to change. I'm going to stop. And then little by little, you stop worship. You stop serving. You stop reading the Bible. You stop spending time with God in prayer. It happens and happens again. But here is the truth that you must believe. It says that I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, not our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell. That's powerful. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That's the truth that we must believe. Regardless what you hear, regardless whatever happened, God loves you. You know that nothing can separate us from God's love. That's a truth that we must believe. Understanding and receiving this fact that Jesus came to heal the sick. But for me to experience the power of Jesus, I have to confess and acknowledge that I am what? Sick. Every time I say, I don't have a problem, that's your problem, those people and all of that, you're not going to experience the powerful transformation, anointing of Jesus because you are declaring yourself healthy. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus always saying, you have to confess. Only the sick need a doctor, not those who are healthy. And Jesus was all the time confronting people with this truth. But the reality is, why didn't Jesus heal everyone? That's the question. And even today, if you go to any campaign, crusade campaign for salvation or healing, if you see it on TV, all of that, you're going to see that regardless what people do, how much you preach, there is always people leaving the meeting not safe or leaving the meeting not healed. And then you start asking why. Why not everybody got saved? Why not everybody got healed? That's why I don't believe in this. Well, no matter what you do, people have a personal responsibility with God. And the only way to experience salvation or healing is when we respond to Jesus in the right way. And what is the right way? Well, here's the first step. The first step is that Jesus himself visited his hometown. And at the bottom in verse 58 says, he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. So when you don't believe, there's nothing God can do. And then it says, at the verse 57, they got offended. So they knew Jesus. And they knew who Jesus was in his own town. So they got offended by the message. And then after that, unbelief came in. In other words, doesn't matter what we do, if we get offended with God and we are offended with the message, then you start separating yourself from salvation and healing and the power of God, because now you are offended. Because God, You are blaming God for something in your life. Someone that you love passed away, or you lost your job, or you were about to be a great athlete, and then suddenly you got a car accident, and then you cannot be a great sport person anymore, or things shift. And now you are angry. Now you are angry. And unbelief sets in. There is no God. Because where is God when this person died? Where was God when this happened? And then all of that creates a barrier between you and God, and now he cannot hear you. But if you confess, if you repent, then that's when we become true believers. And this is the tension between faith and familiarity. In other words, if you have faith, you are safe. If you have faith, you are healed. Now, familiarity is what these people in Nazareth had. They saw Jesus, and they, oh, he's the son of Mary. He's a man. Oh, the carpenter. His father is a carpenter. Their sister is with us. And all this familiarity prevented them from receiving. Same thing happened with us when we come to the church. We come to the church, and we start doing things, going through the motions. And then we become familiar with the church and what we expect to do for worship, the sermon, or serving, and check, 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 check. And you read the Bible, and the familiarity with the text don't allow you to experience transformation when you are reading. Because at some point, you stop reading this book as God's word. Not consciously, but in your subconscious, you just go, 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 and God didn't say anything to you. If you are reading 66 books of the Bible, I believe with all my heart that you will not walk away with a word for you, not for your husband, because we are like David, right? We find words for people, not for us. When God is saying, no, turn around, it's about you. All these Ten Commandments is about you. Every word you receive is about you. I want to talk to you. Oh, powerful sermon. I wish Sister Mary was here today to hear that. No, 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 it's for you. You are here. You are here. It is for you. It is for me. Because it goes like this. The word comes by hearing, and hearing comes by faith, the power of the word. So we need to continue breaking and breaking and breaking. And Jesus is asking everyone the question, would you like to get well? This person was sick. And Jesus knew, it's evident that he's sick. It's evident that he's lame and he's paralyzed. But he's still asking, do you want? Would you like to get well? Why? Because he wants awareness. He wants us to confess our needs and saying to the heavens, the earth, and the waters under the earth, to heaven and hell, I want God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want the Father of Jesus. I want Jesus to answer my need. Not my neighbor, not the government, not demons, not the new era, not the universe, not I want Jesus. It's a big difference when you declare before the heavens and hell itself that you want Jesus and nothing else. I want him to answer my prayers. I don't want anything else. I don't want the aura and the energy. I want Jesus. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Jesus is asking you, would you like to get well? You answer yes. Have the courage to confess yes in any area, whatever secret do you have, whatever secret I have. It's time to bring light to those secrets and have the courage to confess it to someone. Not to your wife, maybe, but someone. Find someone. One of the steps of recovery is make amendments. But if you're going to make amendments and destroy the person that you're going to make the amendment, then you need time. You need to share. But first, find someone safe. Build the courage to share. Don't go straight to the person that you need to share with. Build courage by sharing with someone else first, someone that you trust, someone that can help you pray to break the bondage, so you have the guts to go and talk to people. Because Jesus is awesome. He's love. He's an smiling Jesus. But he's full of what? Grace and truth. And Jesus is coming to us with grace and truth. And as he does that, he wants us to be free. He says that the truth will set you free. Wow. Walking in the light, not in the darkness. Just set free. Be free and free in Jesus. Now, this is what he's saying. This is what he's not saying. Half truth set you free? No. Your truth will set you free? No. Watered down truth? No. The truth will set you free. You have to be honest. You have to be transparent. You have to share your heart. He says, I am the way and the truth. And then you have life, walking, declaring this truth with God. So now, repentance is not only an individual act, it's also a communal act. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come back and give you some cards back. Now remember that the card that you're going to receive is a card from someone else, most likely. But since we are all broken, let's find out what people answer. Okay? And we're going around and I'm going to read the commandment, and I'm going to ask you to read the answer that you have in your notes. Now, after we do that, after this part, I'm going to ask everyone, like last Sunday, to come forward and bring your card to the altar and place it in the altar. And as you come, pray, you know, pray for your own soul, pray for the card that you have in your hand, that this person is transformed. And then Kyle will come back with the band, and we're going to close in worship and reflecting and praying together, and by the time he's finished, we are dismissed. Question number one, which is the first commandment. Yet? Okay, let's keep waiting a little bit. So, Kyle, you can come up, so we save time in the meantime, and then we read the questions, and then bring the questions to the altar. That's what the Bible says. Bring your burdens to the foot of the cross. Bring your burden to the altar. And the band will be standing with me here, so I'm assuming that you broke the Ten Commandments, because you will be standing with me for the 10 questions, okay? So pray for all the sinners that are leading you today, me and the whole band. Okay, question number one. So question number one is the first commandment. It says, you shall not have other gods before me. If the card that you're holding says yes, please stand up. Excellent. Look around. We are broken. You are not alone. Please sit down. Number two, you shall not make idols. If the card in your hand says yes, please stand up. Wow, thank you for the honesty of the church. Because we make idols all the time. You can sit down. Commandment number three. You know what God says about this? If you break one, you cannot go to heaven. One. Just one. That's why we need Jesus. Because we know we're broken all of this. The Bible says that if you have to really obey all these commandments without flaw, impossible. Number three. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If your card says yes, stand up. Wow. Sit down. That's one of the more frequent ones. Every time I hit myself or do something. Okay. Number four. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If your card says yes, stand up. Wow. Sit down. Five. This is a big one. Honor your father and your mother. If your card says yes, breaking that commandment, you have failed to honor your father and your mother at some point in your life. Wow. Sit down, please. Thank you. You shall not murder. If your card says yes, if you have broken that commandment, if your card says yes, stand up. Good. So there is no, okay, thank you. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. If your card says yes, stand up. Breaking that commandment. Wow, you're not alone. Sit down. You shall not steal. If your card says yes, you have broken that commandment, Please stand up. Wow, for those who answered yes to that question, you are not alone. Awesome. Sit down. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you have broken that command, if you ever gave false witness, something like that in your car, said yes, stand up. Wow. Wow. Number one, the last one, I think in America, this is a common one. In Cuba, there is nothing to covet. You have to leave the country. Okay. So here it is. You shall not covet. If your car says yes, stand up. I knew it. I knew this one was a big one. Thank you. Sit down. Can you say the name Jesus? Just say Jesus. Again? Again? Wow. That's what he did on the cross. Because of him, because he fulfilled all the commands, we just have to declare his name. So I'm going to ask you now to stand up and come forward and leave that card in the altar and stay at the altar while the band leads us in worship. And once they finish, you are dismissed. So live with that reflection in your heart that Jesus forgave you and me, and there is grace and there is nothing that can separate you from God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke all lies from the enemy right now, Father. We are loved. We are forgiven. We come with courage, confessing our sins as a community. Come, Holy Spirit. Break the chains.